are there. God's good to us. Tonight we're going to be looking at censored truth. Censored truth. Acts chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 40. Acts 5, verse 40. If you have your place there, please say amen. Amen. Sounds good. You don't have to stand, you don't have to read out loud, just follow along with me. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Ain't that something? Man said, be quiet, and they said, we're not gonna. When it comes to Jesus, we're not gonna be quiet. We cannot be silent. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you for your precious and holy word. Lord, we thank you for these men of God, Lord, who stood up when man and when governmental officials said to be quiet and not preach in the name of Jesus. They stood their ground. And even though they were beaten, the Bible tells us that they counted it a blessing that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus' name's sake. Oh, Lord Father, we thank you tonight for allowing us to be here. And Lord, even if we were to suffer ourselves for the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that we would count it a blessing as well to suffer for Jesus' sake. Lord, speak to our hearts now and go with us as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we find here that the apostles were forbidden to preach the gospel and they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. So by way of introduction, let's understand a couple of things. Number one, we find their command in verse 40. They were commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And then we find, secondly, their counting in verse 41. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And then we find their continuing in verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. So what happened is they refused to be censored. That's what happened. They refused to comply with a command that directly opposed what Jesus told them to do. And what he told them to do was to go out in all the world and preach the gospel. That's what he told them. And here was a group of men saying, you're not supposed to do that. Well, I bet they remember Jeremiah back in chapter 37 and 38. You know, Jeremiah was told not to preach, and he tried to comply. But you know what he found out? He found out he couldn't do it. In chapter 20, verse 9, we see what he said. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bone. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, I tried to stop preaching about the Lord. I tried to stop speaking for him. But you know, the longer I stayed quiet, the more I found out I could not do it. And I think that's all of us. That we have been blessed so much by the Lord, we have been touched by Jesus, that if others were to tell us to stop, we would find out in a hurry, I hope, that we couldn't stop telling the world about Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So in both the Old and the New Testament, God's men have been subjected to the attempt to censor the truth. And thank God for the men of God down through the years that got weary with forbearing. And they could not stay because they had to open up their mouth and their lungs and preach the Word of God. You know, in the last year here in America, we've seen an unprecedented attack upon the First Amendment right of Americans. And not just any American, Christians. As we have found church after church after church across the land that have disobeyed man's order to shut down the house of God, and they have been fined and penalized. We weren't, but our doors were open. Remember what we have been given by our government, by our leaders in the beginning of this thing we call America. It says inside of the First Amendment to the Constitution, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The thing that we need to note right there is that Congress has no right to prohibit our faith. And that goes doubly for the church house. We have watched thousands and thousands of citizens across this land, and also independent presses out there, be silenced by big tech. Like when you see these young people and they get on their phone and they get on Facebook and Twitter and all these other things. What we have been seeing for the past few years, ever since right during the middle of the last election, and even really back in the previous one, which saw the rise of President Trump, we have found sites and people that have been speaking out on behalf of conservative, Republican, President Trump, and even Christians and Christianity be shut down. It's truly amazing, and it's mind-blowing. You'll see nowadays, you'll find out where fact-checkers try to get up and they try to fact-check certain things that are posted. It's unprecedented to see what they're doing. They are trying to censor various types of truth out there. The nation has thousands and thousands of reporters out there, folks. You know it as well as I do. And what we're seeing over and over, we're seeing the truth overall is being censored. The freedom of the press is being censored. The right of the people to peaceably assemble is being censored. We're finding the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Even that is being censored, as well as the freedom of the people to peaceably assemble in houses of worship and worship Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Even that is being censored in our land today. Folks, it's not just a censoring of freedom of speech. It is the fact that the truth is being censored. Lies and propaganda are being printed on every hand, and they are being reported while facts and truth is being canned and stuffed and banned. Make no mistake about it, folks. We see even here in the Bible that people out there that want to censor the truth, that's not anything new. So no political party come up with it. It's something as old even as the Bible itself. It's always been one of those primary functions of the devil. It to shut down truth any way that he can. It was a common tactic of the devil throughout the scripture. And Satan, even back in the Garden of Eden, he's been trying to interfere with God's efforts to communicate that truth to the human race. He either tries to block it or he tried to distort it. Remember what he told the woman, Eve, inside the garden. Yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? How do you know he really said that? And that's even where we see right here with the Bible. There are people out there that don't trust the King James, so they come up with a new funny book. They come up with a modern Bible. But I tell you right now, the Bible that is the most read Bible, it may be outsold at times by modern bookstores, but it's still the best-selling book out there, the old King James Bible. And it is still the most read edition of the Bible out there as well. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's the thing. So Satan tries to revise, he tries to change, he tries to pervert that word of God and that truth. And he will even at times prevent it from being told entirely. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what the devil wants to do. He's trying to put a block in the minds of lost people so they won't understand and they won't comprehend the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's why Paul the Apostle asked for prayer in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. He says, pray that God's word will have a free course to be broadcast and preached and taught and spoken. See, Satan, we are told in John 8:44 by Jesus, Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies. On the other hand, truth is a characteristic of God. It's one of his attributes that he has. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar in Romans 3:4. John said, sanctify them through thy truth. That's quoting Jesus. Thy word is truth in John 17:7. So let's understand a few things about the truth. First of all, let's understand the delivery of the truth. First of all, we have that principle in the Word of God, the first mention principle. We find that wherever there is something that is said and we find that there is a definition attached to that or an understanding, it becomes that meaning throughout the entire Word of God. We find this Genesis 24:26-27. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. You know, that's something that we're not going to have lacking if we're following the Lord. God's not going to let us be destitute of the truth. And I'm glad of that tonight. I'm glad that wherever we are as believers, we always have an ability and a way to lay hold of the truth. I'm glad of that. And see, that's the first mention of the word truth in the Bible. And what is it? It's a man worshiping and he's rejoicing in God. Why? For not leaving him destitute of the truth and for being led of God in the right path. Folks, that's a picture right there. So the first mention we have of truth is of a man worshiping God and he's rejoicing and he's praising God that he has the truth. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I was born in America. I'm glad I was born in the South. I'm glad I was born speaking English. Well, I wasn't born speaking English. I spoke something. I spoke in tongues, but I learned how to speak English, and I learned how to read English, and now I've got a copy of the Word of God in my language, and I'm not one of these out here wandering around wondering how can God speak to me. All I got to do is open up my Bible, pray, and God will talk to me. He'll speak to me just like He will to you. Praise God, we have access to the truth tonight. You know, we ought to rejoice in that fact that we have not been left destitute of the truth, that God has revealed it, He has inspired it, He has preserved it, God has used it, He honors it, and He demands it. There should never be a church anywhere in this country of ours that doesn't preach the King James Bible and preach the blood and preach the blessing of God upon His people. But you know as well as I do, there's hundreds and thousands, if not millions of churches out there that don't lay hold of this blessed book and this doctrine. You know, that's something about God. He loved us enough to give us the truth. He sure did. He cares enough about our life to address every aspect of our life with truth. Like the servant of old, we ought to say, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Abraham, who has not left us destitute of His mercy and His truth. That's something about that delivery. God made sure He delivered that truth to every one of us. Let's look at number two, the duty to the truth. With the delivery of the truth, then we find that this dispensation, this age of the truth, there comes a tremendous responsibility on our children. You see, God has made it possible for us to hear the truth. We find that in Isaiah 43:9. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say it is true. I mean, think about this, guys. Right now, here at Little Danieltown, we might have less than 10 people here tonight. But there, right there on that little table, is a camera that's feeding this right now live. That a person in England might be tuning in. A person in somewhere in this county. I know there's at least two. Brittany's watching right now from the house. So even though she's not physically here, she's still tuning in and she's still hearing the truth of the Word of God. Every month we have sermon audio. It costs us $50 every month. And there's over 1,000, well over, almost 1,500 sermons preached by me, preached by Josh Waters, preached by Chad Connor, preached by Brian Wrong, preached by Paul Dabdu, preached by all kinds of men of God that have come. And that Word of God, that truth is still there, and it's accessible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We reach almost every state in this country. We reach sometimes between 30 and 40 nations, countries around the entire world. People click and they hear the Word of God. They hear the truth. In some of these countries, Christianity is outlawed. It's banned. But yet here is this ministry right here. And it's still going out. The truth. So God says, all right, you're saved. He's brought you to Danieltown. We're here together, and we pay our tithe, and we support the work of this church. We pay to keep the lights on, the water bill paid, and to keep this Word of God going out to the highways and byways. Folks, even though it might seem like there's not much, there is. This church has a massive, huge responsibility to get the word out so people can hear the truth. Guys, we are living in a world full of lies out there on every hand. But praise God, we still have a place to come that still preaches the truth of the Word of God. Amen. That is our duty to that. We have a duty, the Bible says, to buy the truth. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. We have a responsibility, a duty to the truth, to believe the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We have the duty to receive the truth as well. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We have a responsibility to walk in the truth, that is to live in the truth. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We have a duty and a responsibility to obey the truth. Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And Galatians 5:7, ye did run well, who did hinder you, that ye should not obey the truth. We are obligated, beloved, to obey what this Bible says. Regardless of how hard it is, regardless of how it makes us feel, this is God's truth, this is God's word. And if God says to do this, we should do it. If God says not to do this, then we shouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. We have a duty and a responsibility also to rejoice in the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Amen to that. Well, how about number three? We need to understand this as well. There is a deafness to the truth as well. You see, the sermon tonight is about the truth being censored, shut down. I don't want to look at the many entities that Satan uses to censor that truth. I don't want to look at the watering down of the truth by apostates and hirelings. I don't want to look at the diluting and perverting of the truth in modern translation. I don't want to deal with the persecution and opposition to the truth by government, principalities, and powers. I don't even want to look at all the distractions and the disruption that Satan uses to turn people away from the truth. I want to look at what I believe is the worst type of truth censoring that there is. And what is that? That is when a person has access to the truth, but they refuse to hear it. That's the worst kind. It ain't how Satan blinded all these people. Because why? Because we already know that if they're lost, they're going to be blinded. The problem is when a person has a Bible and they will not look at it, they will not touch it, they will not heed it, they will not listen to it. That's the evil right there. And you know what? Satan's doing a pretty good job of that out there. But see, that's one reason why the devil does not like churches like Danieltown. That's why Satan wants churches like this to be shut down. He wants the truth to be censored. And if he can succeed and shut this church down, guess what? That's another way the truth is censored, ain't it? Amen. So that ought to fill us with even more resolve to stand our ground and say, you know what, Scratch, we ain't going to let you do it. Slewfoot, you got to move on out of here because this ground has long been dedicated to the glory of God.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm toting the bloodline to the enemy. We're not going back up. We done backed up enough over the years and years and years in this country. It's time for God-fearing, red-blooded American to stand our ground and say, enough is enough. You give the queers their day. You give these guys their day. You give the Muslims their day. It's time to let the people of God have our day and let us stand and stake our claim in this land of liberty as well.
Amen.
Land where our fathers died. Land of the pilgrim's pride. We have a wonderful country, but she got problems. And it's time for us to pray her out of them. And not let that truth be censored. You see, when people have access to the Bible and they shut it, they censor the truth themselves, sadly. So let's look at what, let's be reminded of what the definition of censor means. An official who examines books, plays, news reports, motion pictures, radio and television programs, letters, cablegrams. For the purpose of suppressing parts deemed objectionable on moral, political, military, or other grounds. 2, any person who supervises the manners of morality of others. 3, an adverse critic or a fault finder. The Bible is full of people who did just all of that, especially Satan. There's tons of people that deliberately and willingly censor the truth. But not from others, but from themselves, even in the Bible. They refuse to listen to the part that they say are objectionable. It's just like anybody can sit inside this church, but until then, the preacher preaches about a certain sin, or this, that, or the third, and then they find an objection to it because, oh, my daughter or my family's in that. Well, you know what? We don't hate nobody. What we don't like is the sin. First of all, in our own lives. Secondly, in anybody else's lives. We want people to come to know Jesus. That's what we want.
Amen.
And the people that know Jesus, we want them to learn what Jesus says in His Word. Why? Because now we need to live for Him. No more living for self. It's we're supposed to live for Him now. Why? Because look what all He's done for us. It's the least we can do for Him, for all that He's done for us. But what happens is when a person decides to censor the things they don't like, they become an adverse critic and they begin to be a fault finder with the Word of God. May I say the perfect Word of God. Zechariah 7 tells us all about it in verse 11. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped the ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. So the language here is crystal clear. They refused to hearken. That means they refused to listen. They pulled away the shoulder. They began to pull away from fellowship with them. They stopped their ears so they could not hear the preaching. And they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law. What does that mean? They hardened their hearts. They began to act like they had no love toward anybody else. In Acts 7, we see this. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, this is Stephen, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon Him with one accord. So again, in the New Testament, what do we see? They cried with a loud voice, they made a loud noise, and they stopped their ears and they ran to stop this preacher, this deacon, from preaching. They didn't want to hear it anymore. And what does the Bible say in 2 Timothy 4? Verses 3 and 4, it says this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Folks, I just want to remind us of one thing tonight. That social media censoring the news, that big media outlets out there like CNN and others, that's not our biggest concern tonight. The biggest concern, the government censoring our free speech is not, that's not even our biggest problem. The biggest problem we have tonight of censoring truth is Satan's desire for us to censor the truth we have in front of our noses. That we will censor the truth of the Word of God. That we will stop reading our Bible. That we will stop going to church. That we will stop attending revival. That we will stop listening to the preaching and to the teaching of God's Word. That we ourselves will become a censor of the devil in our own hearts, our own minds, and our own family. That's what the devil wants of us. Not them, how they've already got them out there done. What he wants is for us to do his dirty work for him, ourselves. And I'm sad to say, folks, that there's a lot of believers on their way to heaven that are doing just that tonight. They got a certain sin they've wrestled with and they won't throw it out. They won't get it right with God. And when the preacher preaches on it, boom, they cut it off. And they say, "I ain't going back to that church. I ain't going back and reading that in my Bible. I'm going to skip over that. I don't like that." Well, guess what? You ain't the author. You ain't the one in charge. It's God. And last time I checked, the position ain't open. And you can't impeach him. You can't get rid of him. I mean, he's going to be like a bad penny, and he's going to come back up no matter how we deal with it. And if we choose to let this lie and just leave it alone and we walk away from the things of God, then there will come the day when God will call us and hold us accountable for the self-censoring that we've done of His truth. While the devil smiles and laughs, we will be held accountable and judged by our Heavenly Father for what we have done. Folks, don't let go of it. We've got it, and we're going to hold on to it. We're going to be like that old bulldog, and we're not going to let it go. You know, you try every which way, and he ain't going to let that rope go. Well, we've got it right here, and we've got it right here. And say, we're not going to let it go. Let our knuckles turn white as they may. David, if you'll come. We're going to lay hold and keep holding to the things that were once delivered to the saints of God. Well, folks, I thank you for being here tonight in the house of the Lord. And as David plays here an invitational hymn, this is your time to check out your heart and check out your walk. And maybe as you look around, you might notice somebody in your life, in your family, in your circle of friends, that they might be censoring the truth of the Word of God. Well, let's pray for them. We don't have to be mean about it. We don't have to beat people over the head. But if they ever come to us and say, "Well, what do you think about this?" Let's give them the truth of what God said. Tell them in love. That's the only thing we can do. Share the truth because we're supposed to. Let's not censor it from them. So as David plays, if God's dealing with you tonight, any way, shape, or form, would you come?